Welcome to Gwinnett Church Online. We're so honored and thrilled that you're with us. And if you've been tracking with us over the last couple of Sundays, we've been saying that we have a specific goal for this series, The Road Ahead, for you. And that is for you to be reminded that God has a future vision for your life, that God is taking you on a future destination. And when you and I can stay locked in on this future vision and destination, it gives us a strength. It gives us a purpose to take steps in the future toward the road ahead, toward the future vision that God has for you and for me. In fact, it's one of the reasons why I love this image of the road ahead that our team has created. A part of the image is blurry, and that's pretty much our world right now, right? It seems like a blurry world. And yet, if we lift our eyes to the future vision that God has for us, it gives us a step. It gives us a purpose. It gives us a hope to take a step. Some days, maybe just one step toward the future that God has for us. And when we understand that and we stay locked in on this future vision that God has for our lives, it leads us to the bottom line of this series. And the bottom line is simply this: don't let what we don't know rob us of what we can do. Don't let what we don't know, I mean, there's a lot that we don't know. There's a lot that a lot of people don't know right now, right? But at the end of the day, don't let what we don't know rob us of what we can do. And in this series on the road ahead, we've been looking at three things that you and I can do. It's not an exhaustive list, but these three things are powerful strategies for you and me to implement in the road ahead. And if we will implement these three strategies and stay locked in on the future vision that God has for our lives, I'm telling you, it's going to allow us to stay and take a step and stay on the road ahead toward the future vision that God has for you. So what we're doing today is we're concluding this series. I'll give you a brief recap of the first two strategies that we've been talking about in this series, and then I'll introduce the third thing that I would highly encourage you to do. So that's one thing that we're going to do. But there's another thing that we're going to do today that's kind of a parallel track with the conclusion of this series. And to do that, I want to show you another picture. This picture was actually taken almost 9 years ago. This is October the 2nd, 2011. This was our very first church service, Gwinnett Church service at Gwinnett Center. Some of you were there. Some of you are actually in this picture. And that's me, and I was preaching my very first sermon at Gwinnett Church. Now, the reason I wanted to show you this picture is because today I'm preaching my very last sermon as your lead pastor. And so there's some things that I want to share with you since this is my last time to communicate as your lead pastor. And so what we're going to do is we're going to conclude this series, but I'm also going to conclude my time as your lead pastor. And both of these are going to run on parallel tracks. And I'm very excited that I get to conclude this series, but also share with you some things that are on my heart that I have hopes and wishes and prayers for you. So that's where we're going to go for a few minutes today as we close out the series and I close out my time as your lead pastor. Now, to do that, if you've been with us over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at this story in the book of John, in the New Testament, John chapter 12. And in the first week, I mentioned to you that when the pandemic hit, I was just reading along in the book of John in terms of my personal devotion. And I came across these three verses in John chapter 12. And in many respects, I haven't left these three verses. So if you haven't been with us, let me give you a brief recap of John chapter 12. And to do that, we actually have to go back to John chapter 11. John chapter 11 is this pivotal story in the ministry of Jesus. Jesus gets word one day from two sisters, two friends of his, that another friend of his, their brother Lazarus, is sick. And so they know that if they get word to Jesus that Lazarus is sick, Jesus will come running to save the day. But they are eventually perplexed to understand that that's actually not what happened. Jesus got word and just kind of hung out and didn't leave. Finally, Jesus arrives on the scene. Not only is he late, they've already had the funeral. He missed the funeral. So they arrive on the scene, and Mary and Martha, as you might imagine, are a little upset with Jesus because Jesus didn't show up on time. Now, let me ask you, has that ever happened to you? Has Jesus not shown up on time for you? Have you ever asked what Mary and Martha were asking? Lord, where were you? I would imagine in this season, we've asked that quite a few times. That's why this story, I think, is so relevant for where we are in today's world. But you know the story, Jesus arrives on the scene, goes up to the tomb, asks them to roll the stone away, prays this amazing prayer, cries out, Lazarus, come forth, and here comes this dead man walking, and everyone loses their minds in a really good way. Then, John chapter 12 is the epilogue of the story. And so I want to share with you these three verses. And in these three verses where we've been journeying in this series is we've been looking at the first two things that come out to us in terms of what we can do in this season. And we're going to look at the third one today. So here's John chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. John wrote this: 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Again, I love John's clarifying statement here, because he's knowing that he's writing to people perhaps who kind of heard the story of Lazarus and thought, hey, I thought that guy actually died. And he said, no, this is the same guy we're talking about. Yes, he was there, and Jesus brought this guy back to life. Verse 2 says this: because of that, I think, here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Now, this is a really cool statement, because this wasn't just a dinner. They just didn't go out to dinner, if you will, or invite some friends over. This was a dinner given in honor of Jesus. And you've probably been to a retirement party or an awards banquet of some sort, and there are speeches, and they honor certain individuals. And I think that's probably what they're referencing here. I have a hunch that sometime at the dinner party, somebody, you know, stood up and said, can I say something about the guest of honor? Maybe Lazarus got up and said, thank you, I'm no longer dead. That would be a great speech. There were a lot of probably great speeches about Jesus in this moment, but don't miss this. Don't miss the wonder of this party. Don't miss the absolute miracle and the energy and the enthusiasm that this party must have generated. Because I have a hunch that every single person that was at this party was also at the funeral of Lazarus. And at some point, I have a feeling that the wonder of this moment, they never got over it. Because at some point in the party, I think they just stood there and looked at Lazarus and thought, I went to this man's funeral, and there he is having dinner with Jesus and laughing and having a good time. Don't miss the wonder of this moment. Now, here's why I have wanted to kind of soak in for the last three Sundays these verses. I think, symbolically, this is a picture of where you and I are headed in our future. Remember, at the very beginning of each of our services and gatherings in this series with The Road Ahead, what I've told you is that God has a future vision for your life. What that means is ultimately where we're headed, according to the scriptures, is this massive feast, this massive party in eternity forever and forever and forever. And it's going to be given in Jesus' honor. But while we're there, we get, I think, to have a conversation about what we did in the road ahead from then to now. And what that means for you and what that means for me is this week, we have an opportunity to do some things in the road ahead that can actually show up in eternity. And when we are at the future dinner party with Jesus in Jesus' honor, we can do something that will show up at that dinner party. That's why I think this week, as challenging as these days are, I'm telling you, it is an extraordinary opportunity. And don't let what you don't know rob you of what you can do. And there are some things that you can do in this moment. So there's a dinner party given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. We talked about that the first couple of weeks. Then verse 3 is where we're going to see the third thing that we're going to be challenged to do today. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. So let me give you a brief recap in terms of what Martha did, what Lazarus did, and what Mary is doing now. And the third thing that Mary is doing now is an extraordinary, extraordinary invitation for you this week and every week going forward, that if you'll do this, it can actually shape the conversation that you have with Jesus at the future dinner party in eternity. That's stunning. So here's what Martha did. Martha served Jesus. We talked about being a distributor of hope. If you didn't see week one, I would encourage you to do that, because it's an opportunity for us to serve at a different level. Last week, we talked about Lazarus reclining. What that meant is that Lazarus practiced the presence of Jesus. And we kind of walked you through how to practice the presence of Jesus, which leads to the peace of Jesus. If you didn't see week two, I would highly encourage you to do that, because as we are distributors of hope and we serve those around us, and as we spend time with Jesus and practice his presence, it does something in us. And when we do that, it leads us to the third thing. And this is what Mary did at the dinner party. Mary poured out her best. Mary poured out her best. For our remaining few minutes together, I want to talk to you about how you can pour out your best, even in challenging days. In fact, let me say this. It's kind of easy, wouldn't you agree? It's kind of easy to pour out your best when things are going swimmingly well. But the thing I've seen you do going at church, the thing I've seen you do at the drive-bys, the thing I've seen you do on social media, the thing I've seen you do by supporting our community partners is that you have risen to a different level and you've poured out your best in very challenging days. And as you have done that, you've strengthened this church, you've glorified the name of Jesus, and together we have taken a huge step forward in the road ahead toward the future vision that God has for our lives. Now, to do that, I want to help us understand the dichotomy that Mary was probably experiencing in John chapter 12 and John chapter 11. So, you know, John chapter 12, she's got this very expensive perfume and she pours this out on Jesus' feet and she takes her hair and she's wiping the perfume from his feet and the fragrance fills the room. And I wonder, just a hunch on my part, I wonder, as Mary is at the feet of Jesus, if she remembers the last time that she was at the feet of Jesus. Because the last time that she was at the feet of Jesus, she had a different attitude. She had a different perspective. In fact, let me show you the last time before this moment in John chapter 12, verse 3, where she was and how she was when she was at the feet of Jesus in John chapter 11. John chapter 11 says this, when Mary arrived and saw that Jesus had arrived to the scene, you know, Jesus missed the funeral. He could have saved and healed Lazarus. He didn't do anything. So when Jesus finally shows up, Mary goes out and says, and saw Jesus and she fell at his feet. But this time she didn't take perfume. She didn't take her hair. No, she had a challenge to Jesus. She challenged him with this statement, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, I'm not trying to be critical at all of Mary. What I'm trying to tell you is, I think in these days, when you agree, this is where we are. And I totally understand that. You've been there, I've been there, we've all been there. Lord, where are you? Lord, what is happening? Lord, it just continues. It seems like it's getting worse and worse and worse. Lord, where are you? And so I love the dichotomy between John chapter 11 and John chapter 12, and here's why. When it comes to John chapter 11, these are the challenges of our lives. This is the heartache. This is the heartbreak. This is the reality, and we don't want to deny reality. But what we know is that the challenges of our lives, it's not the conclusion of the story, because we know that every John chapter 11, verse 32, there's John chapter 12, verse 3, and John chapter 12, verse 3 says this, that while she fell at his feet and confronted him, now she fell at Jesus' feet and poured out her very best. And the reason I want to show you this dichotomy is, yes, this may be where we are right now in many respects, but Gwinnett Church, this is where we're headed. This may be where we are right now, but this is where you're headed. And here's what I mean by this. The challenges in our lives are chapters. The faithfulness of Jesus is the story. The challenges in our lives, the heartbreaks in our lives, hey, they're real. We're not denying that at all. We're not saying you shouldn't cry. We're not saying you shouldn't be upset about any of that. That's not what we're saying. They are challenges and they are real. But at the end of the day, what Mary is showing us, at the end of the day, what Jesus is showing us is that the challenges in our lives are mere chapters, and the faithfulness of Jesus is the story. And when we understand that, and when we stay locked in on the future vision and destination that where we're ultimately heading, what it allows us to do in the challenging chapters of our lives is to not become paralyzed, is to not to lose faith, is not to lose vision, is not to obey to fear and not faith and obedience when God says go. What we're saying is in these days, what you and I get to do, even in the challenging chapters, is we can do what Mary did because Mary poured out her best. But yes, Mary poured out her best when everything was going great at the dinner party. What I'm challenging you to do, and I think gives God even greater glory, is when you pour out your best when the story has not yet been written. Because the reality for you and the reality for me, we're not at the dinner party yet, right? We're not in eternity yet. But, and please don't miss this, you get to shape eternity this week by pouring out your best at work, at school, in person or online. However that may play out in your world, you have an opportunity to pour out your best. And here's what I believe. When you pour out your best, it's going to show up at the dinner party in honor of Jesus. And you know something I know about Jesus? He's going to flip the table and he's going to honor you when he tells the story of what you did in the year 2020 in a challenging season and you poured out your best individually and corporately as a church. And so with all that said, I want to kind of turn the corner and give you this question about how can you continue as a church to pour out your best? And the question I want to kind of begin to land in on today is, what does pouring out your best look like in the road ahead for you, Gwinnett Church? And so I want to share with you a few things. This isn't an exhaustive list, but these are things that you've already continued to do. This is part of your story these last 9 years. But my hope and my prayer and Wendy's hope and Wendy's prayer and our kids' hope and prayer as you move forward is that you would continue to be this kind of church. Because when you are this kind of church, what I'm about to share with you, you will continue to pour out your best for this community, for one another, and for Jesus. And ultimately, that will show up at the dinner party forever and forever and forever. The first is just continue to be delightful. Just continue to be a delightful church. I love this word, which simply means to be full of light. Don't forget this. Jesus said that you are like the light of the world. And hopefully you've heard me say this over these 9 years, that we'll let Disney World be the happiest place on earth. But as for the church, we want to claim that we are the most joyful place on the planet. And what would it look like if a generation of adults, what would it look like if a generation of students, what would it look like if a generation of children grew up and lived their lives and thought, you know what? If you want to experience joy, you've got to go to a local church, because these people are the most delightful people I've ever met. Just one man's opinion. And don't email me, because I only got a few more days here. I don't think that's our story collectively. I think the church is known for being judgmental, hypocritical. We take ourselves way too seriously. We can't even get along with one another when I look at social media. And we have this amazing opportunity to be the most joyful and delightful people. But we can't control the rest of the world. But what we can control and what you can control is this, that you can continue to be a delightful people. That's happening in our drive-thrus now. It's happening online. It's happening as you gather together in groups. It's continuing to happen. And when you ultimately do get back together and start meeting again in 2021, and when those Wagoneers start pulling those wagons again, and when those amazing guest services volunteers put on those t-shirts and welcome everyone in and our guests go, is this the Ritz-Carlton? When all of that is happening at both locations, I just want to let you know, it's going to show up at the dinner party, because you have no idea the story of the person that's walking in those doors at Gwinnett Church Hamilton Mill or Gwinnett Church Sugar Hill or watching you online. And they're looking at you and thinking, these are the most delightful people. Why are they so happy? Why are they so joyful? It's because there's a Savior. His name is Jesus. And we're headed to him. So continue to be delightful. The other thing that you've continued to do, and I just want you to continue to do this, but this has been part of your story, is to help the next gen win. And this is one of my favorite pictures in these 9 years. I love this picture. I think it shows a snapshot of Gwinnett County. But one of the things I love about you, Gwinnett Church, one of the many things I love about you is you've always understood that we're not here to cater to the adults. We want to serve adults, but we want to raise a generation of students that understand who Jesus is in a delightful, winsome way. This is who you are. In fact, when we built this property a few years ago, we instantly ran out of space for middle school and high school students. We brought trailers in. They were on the floor all over the place. And any fundraising expert would tell you, don't launch another capital campaign until at least 2 to 3 years from now, because we just finished one. But that's not who we are as a church. We're not going to be content with letting middle school and high school students in trailers and all over the floor having these really critical conversations, these vital conversations. So 9 months after building this building, we launched another capital campaign to build the student building, which is now paid for. And then a little bit after that, we launched Gwinnett Church Hamilton Mill. One of the reasons for that is because of the enormous amount of students in middle school, high school, elementary, and preschool. All of that is we want to help the next gen win. And over these years, when I've seen you do that, and carpet circles, and all of the things that you do, it just thrills my heart. I just don't want you to stop doing this. In fact, to give you a reminder, I want to show you one of my favorite baptism videos. I don't have a favorite as a dad. You know, I can't have a favorite kid, right? So I don't have a favorite baptism video, but this is one of my favorite baptism videos. This is Ethan Robertson. He's getting baptized by his godfather. But I want you to hear Ethan. I want you to hear him talk about his favorite Bible verse, by the way, quoting scripture. That's awesome. But then I want you to see the joy of the church in this moment. Watch this.
Hi, my name is Ethan. I am 6 years old. I'm in first grade. When I was 4.5 years old, I knew that I accepted Jesus, but I didn't ask him to come into my heart until October 4th. I want to get baptized because I want to show people that I'm a light of the world and I love Jesus. My favorite verse is Matthew 5:14. I'm a light of the world. A city on a hill and cannot be hidden. Matthew 5:14. I'd like to thank my family, my small group leaders, Rose and Carly, Miss Cynthia Reagan, my godfather, Michael Simmons, who's going to baptize me.
All right, well, this is probably the first and the only time that will happen in church. This is Ethan, and his dad and I, again, have been best friends for 30 years, and I feel like I'm baptizing him because if you ever want to know what your dad was like at your age, you just need to look in the mirror or watch this video, okay? Listen, you trusted God, and I always, again, knew your parents would tell you about him, but it was your decision. It was your decision, not just listening to what they say, but it was your decision to say, I need you in my life. And it's because of that public profession of faith that you've made that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. It's my honor to baptize you, my godson and my brother, in the name of the Father who loves you, in the name of the Holy Spirit who, in the name of the Father who loves you, and the Son who died on the cross just for you, and in the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you.
Over and over and over again, adults have poured into the lives of students and kids, and that's who we are. And my hope for you as a church, as you continue to pour out your best in your community, you'll never lose sight of that. Because please, you have to understand this, and please don't forget this. What we believe is that here's what we're not doing. We're not raising a generation of students to shield them from the world and put them in a Christian bubble because we're scared of the world out there, the big bad world out there. We can't go out there. What we're going to do is put an umbrella over them and just help them try to, you know, avoid any of the big bad world out there. That's not who we are. That's not what the kingdom is about. What we're doing at Gwinnett Church and what you have done is we're raising a generation of leaders. We're raising a generation of students from Wamba, Upstreet, Transit, and high school inside out. And what we're telling them is, go lead the world. Don't be scared of the world. Go lead it. Go launch a business. Go lead and serve a business. We want to launch leaders into this world that they can step into businesses and talk the language and lead businesses. We want to launch leaders that go out and lead the academic world, the arts world, the entertainment world, the sports world, the culture world. We want to go out there and lead the world. And that's what you're doing, Gwinnett Church. And good grief, if there's a county in the southeastern United States that has the potential to do that, it's Gwinnett County. And so if you're going to pour out your best, you got to continue to pour out your best for the next generation. And one of the things that you've got to do if you're going to continue to do that, and this is your story again, is continue to be generous. Continue to be generous. Prioritize your giving. Become percentage givers. Give first, save second, live on the rest. This is your story. But continue to do that. Continue to be generous to this church and to the mission and vision now more than ever. The other part of your story is simply this: excellence matters. This is Evan, one of our amazing production volunteers. I'm telling you, you are the most amazing volunteers, and we really do believe that excellence matters. It's not perfection. We don't get it right all the time, but we value your time, both online, offline, whatever it is. We want to be as prepared as we possibly can, because we believe if we show up prepared, it's one of the ways we honor the Holy Spirit to say, Holy Spirit, we've done everything we can do. Now it's up to you. And I say this because when you eventually relaunch services in 2021, we're going to need more Evans. We're going to need more volunteers throughout our ministry. So as you begin to think about 2021, I want those of you we've given you a little time off pretty much the rest of the year, right? But when 2021 rolls around, and whenever that happens, we need more people to do what we do. Because excellence really matters. Because as the scriptures teach, whatever you do, do it with all that you have, because it glorifies the Son and the Father. Finally, in terms of pouring out your best, if you don't want to do any of that, but if you do this next one, you're going to do the rest, is simply follow Jesus. Simply follow Jesus. This picture was taken on July 31st, 2014. It was the first back to school night of worship that we did. It was over at Cross Point. It was amazing. These letters lifted up. We literally lifted the name of Jesus, and they're actually back in a room behind me. And it's just a reminder for us that at the end of the day, the way we pour out our best is to stay close to Jesus. And when it comes to Jesus, hey, what I believe Jesus is the Son of the living God. I believe Jesus is the Messiah. I believe Jesus is the Savior of the world. But honestly, I believe there's something about Jesus that just words can't describe. There's something about Jesus that I can't quite adequately describe, and I've tried for 17 and a half years, but I don't think I've gotten anywhere close to the majesty, the power, the grace, the friendship, the joy of just being close to Jesus. There's something about Jesus that makes me think of home. There's something about Jesus that reminds me that everything's gonna be okay. There's something about Jesus that reminds me that he's with me and that I can take a step forward in the road ahead. So Gwinnett Church, just stay close to Jesus and everything will take care of itself. Because eventually, you're going to find yourself at a dinner party with him. And so, as we say all of that, that leads us to the road ahead. And for you, yeah, for us, it might be a little bit blurry. The circumstances might be a little bit blurry in the road ahead. But I want to let you know this. If you'll lift your eyes to the vision that God has for you, if you'll lift your eyes to the destination that ultimately where we're headed, we'll be able to live this out. That don't let what you don't know, don't let what we don't know rob us of what we can do, because there are some things that we can do. Martha showed us to serve and be distributors of hope. Lazarus showed us how to practice the presence of Jesus and just stay close to Jesus. And Mary told us and showed us that you can pour out your best. And in that, what we'll begin to discover is that the challenges in our lives are chapters, and the faithfulness of Jesus is the story. But what I'm challenging you to do in these challenging days is to pour out your best here. This is where God grows your faith greater. This is where Jesus gets greater glory. And this will show up at the dinner party. And as a church, Gwinnett Church, you have poured out your best. From the Gwinnett Center to Cross Point to Sugar Hill, to launching the student building, and now Hamilton Mill. In my humble opinion, that's just the beginning. And the reason I can say with credibility that you have poured out your best is because our family has experienced you pouring out your best. In fact, let me show you a picture that was taken 9 years ago on this property when we bought this property at Sugar Hill. We put a sign out there that said #ForGwinnett, and we asked so many of you to go get pictures and post it on social media. Here was our picture. This is a picture that we posted with our family, #ForGwinnett. And at this point, Cole was the shortest person on the family. 9 years later, Cole is actually the tallest person in our family. And in these 9 years, you have poured out your best. Our kids love the local church because so many adult leaders like you have poured into their lives. They started serving from Wamba, Upstreet, to Transit, and Inside Out. Wendy and I have experienced your grace. These haven't been the easiest years. We've had some difficult days, but you've loved us. I've been able to be honest with you about my anxiety challenges, and that didn't push you away from me. That drew you closer. The emails, the cards, the letters, all the things that you have done for us over the years, you have poured out your best. And as a result, now what we're able to do is to take what you have launched here and simply spread it around to other churches and organizations to tell them to be delightful, to tell them to help the next gen win, to be generous. Excellence matters. Stay close to Jesus. And so on behalf of Wendy, Jesse, Cole, and me, Gwinnett Church, thanks for pouring out your best on this one family. But you've probably heard me say this before. There's 280,000 unchurched people in Gwinnett County. That's your potential. And imagine what could happen if all of them experienced what this family experienced. And that's what I believe is going to happen as you pour out your best on the road ahead for Gwinnett Church. And as you do, what you're going to experience is this. As you pour out your best for this church, for one another, for the staff, for the community, what you're also going to experience, come on, and you know this, your Heavenly Father has poured out His best for you because He gave you His one and only Son. And when Jesus went to that cross for you to die for your sins and mine, and 3 days later brought Him out of that tomb, and knowing that our future is going to be spent with Him forever and forever and forever, you can be a distributor of hope. So serve this church in this county well. You can practice His presence because He is with you. And you can pour out your best because He has poured out His best for you, because great is His faithfulness now and forever. And that, Gwinnett Church, that is the road ahead. Father, we love you. Thank you for these amazing 9 years, but this is just the beginning for this church. I pray for the staff. Thank you for the amazing staff and how well they continue to lead and serve this church. Thank you for what you're doing in the future. Thank you for what you've done in the past. And ultimately, thank you for this dinner party that we're gonna head toward for eternity. And thank you for this amazing reality that this week, we get to do something that can show up there. So let us serve, let us practice your presence, and let us pour out our best. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name, amen.